2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing or revelation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And we're looking at this whole dealy about what is now made manifest. Remember, Christ means the anointed one, but it's another word for the Messiah. That sentence fulfilled what the Jewish hopes for Messiah were. After the flesh. And so we started yesterday talking about what this means. That it's the kingdom of heaven has been established by the Messiah, and it's finished. It's over. Everything that man can do is done, except for repentance. Now that's a biggie. It's about as big as it gets in the doctrine. And what the Jews expected...
Can I say something? If everything is done, and what's happening in us is the apprehension of the completion.
Right.
And it's apprehended by repentance. And that's the payoff.
Amen.
Death is the
death
price.
Is... we gotta take a trip. Go to James real quick. See, you made me take a trip. You didn't make me go on a trip.
You
made me take a trip.
I can't push on the trip, and then you'll be free.
That's right. Verse 12, chapter 1, book of James. James. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now the word, he's saying there, our normal word for temptation, we think it's an enticement to do evil, right? That's what the world's view of what temptation means.
Right.
A beautiful girl walks by, and I'm tempted. I'm tempted, big time.
Tempted or you do it?
Huh?
Tempted or you do it?
Well, I used to do it, but now I'm tempted. All right. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a shiny thing or Ava Gardner, for those of you that remember her, or anything else. Anything, you're tempted by lust when you want things to be different than they are. Anybody understand that? So every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, everybody that reads this, every single commentary I've ever read on that, that was, you can't be there. You can't do that. But that's not what it says. It bringeth forth death to the old man, but it bringeth forth life to the resurrection. That's why you cannot muzzle yourself. You have to take everything to the end. To see its vanity or to see its death. Sin, when it has conceived, bringeth forth death. Death might be your Santa Claus. To quote friend in New York.
That is so true. Everybody hears the word death and they say, oh, then I better do everything I can to not get to that point.
Right. But they act like they're doing everything.
Yeah. So I will act real good so that I don't have to face death, when death is in fact the door.
Death is the only way you will see the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot understand it, cannot see it. Really has no... It's not attractive to the kingdom, I mean to the flesh, to the human race. Because it costs you your life. Death. Amen?
I'm thinking of Paul, he said, I have many things to tell you, but you aren't ready to hear. That's something you're not ready to hear right away.
Well, you are now.
Yeah, I'm talking about other
people. All right.
So you're saying, like, you, if you're walking by Ava Gardner and you reach out to grab her, it might be good that it called up her bodyguards to jump and pummel you to the ground.
Let you taste death.
You
beat me to a bloody pulp.
Then you sort of realize.
I said, I don't want to do that anymore.
It was a nice whole thing going on in your head.
It wasn't that good stuff.
Or Angela Jolie or some other girl I saw this morning.
Gosh. Poor Angelina.
Some of Terry.
What?
Poor Angelina, yeah.
Poor Angelina.
She's got a lot of handprints.
Who's Angelina?
Jolie.
The one you saw.
Oh.
You just misnamed her.
Whoever she is. All right. Rabbinic writings have a distinct interpretation of the expression Malchut Shamayim, means the kingdom of heaven. For them, the kingdom was in essence the rule of God, most often described as equal to the personal acceptance of God's reigning over a given person or community. They believed that every enemy of the Jews would be destroyed at the appearing of the Messiah. We've talked often about why Judas betrayed him. We think, oh man, Judas was evil. No, Jesus did not meet Judas's expectations of what Messiah or who Messiah was.
Which was other people's too.
Right.
That.
Yeah, everybody's account. They cannot realize and didn't realize then that the only enemy is them, is us.
Yeah.
I have seen the enemy and it is me. It is us. What?
I just had a flashback of looking in the mirror and seeing the devil.
But Jesus, most believers have the same problem, knowing what the kingdom of heaven is. All the words have been changed. Now it's Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, in earth, or on earth as it is in heaven. Everything is on earth, visible. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. Now, we're going to go, we talked about this history a little bit yesterday. After the temple was destroyed, finally in 70 AD, to the Jews, the temple was everything, because that's where all the presence of God was. That was the whole mystery. When the temple was destroyed, they had to do something to continue. And what they did is they invented a religion called synagogue Judaism, as opposed to temple Judaism or Torah Judaism. And so then statements are made by rabbinic authority instead of Talmudic authority or Torah authority. And so just about everything that's done in the temples or the synagogues around the world are by rabbinic authority, not Torah authority. Why? Because the Jewish race cannot exist without a temple.
How would that change the Torah authority? Don't the rabbis get all of their authority from the Torah? I don't understand your...
I'm not following the reasoning either.
All right, let's just take a biggie. The biggest day in the Jewish calendar is the day of Yom Kippur. No other day can possibly rival its importance, because if the sacrifices were not accepted, then they would die. The world would die. You know, they thought the world would come.
Okay, when they had the temple and Yom Kippur came and the priest goes into the Holy of Holies, comes out, the cord around his leg, and announces that the temple, that the sacrifice...
Right, that is the Torah authority.
That's Torah.
Now what happens? Now it's rabbinic authority that the day itself atones, and that, but they do this celebration in many of the synagogues where they hold the chicken over your head.
That makes even less sense.
Yeah. This book is the only authority. This Genesis, the Torah is the Old Testament. But the main part of the Torah is the first five books. Forever and ever, those five books were the authority for Judaism. Right? So it's Torah authority. So every male had to appear at the temple on the three pilgrimage feasts. If they didn't, they were cut off from the people. Right? Now, they can't appear in the temple because the temple doesn't exist. So they do things by rabbinic authority, saying that if you celebrate the day itself, that suffices. Talmudic authority is the same thing. A Talmudic authority takes all the rabbinic authority and justifies this rabbinic authority. So what we have is a religion, a Jewish religion, that cannot meet the standards of the Old Testament or of the Torah.
It's the best they can do with what they've got. So that's all they can do to maintain their religion.
Right.
Which they don't want to trash.
But that's why it says there are now no more Jews. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, young or old, male or female, black or white. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. The mystery of God is made up of that new creature in mass called the bride. You cannot, I could give you 100 examples. Every time you sin, you had to go to the temple and make an offering for that sin or that trespass. Every time you touched or were in the presence of a dead body, you had to go, like in just going to a funeral. You had to go to the temple and be purified by the ashes of the red heifer. The temple doesn't exist. The same thing, though, is the Christian, most Christians do the same thing. The modern Christians, for the most part, are the same as synagogue Judaism. They're both waiting for something to take place. And that's all the human mind can understand. It's finished. It was finished at the cross. The kingdom of God is here. It came down. Everything that we... every promise of the Old Testament was fulfilled in that one person, Jesus Christ, the man. By that one offering, you've been perfected forever. And all the other promises. But if you're still waiting for something to happen, then, or have these harebrained beliefs like the Dominionists that say you have to make the land ready for the, wipe out all your enemies.
So the Christians and the Jews are waiting for the same guy,
right?
Basically,
right. The great story about a Jewish rabbi when they were meeting at one of these sort of, what do you call them when they're trying to get united?
Interfaith
conferences. As usual, the subject of Messiah came up. And there were some great arguments. And the rabbi in charge stood up and halted everything. And he said, this really isn't a subject that we should be discussing. When Messiah comes, we'll ask him if he's been here before. So do you understand? It's the same. Now, Messiah cannot come. If he came, there's no possibility of proving that he's Messiah, except doing tricks. Because the Messiah had to have the lineage that was specific through the tribe of Judah. So here comes this being, this guy, in a, or whatever he is, the common market, or the European tens, or the what, blah, 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 they're forever. If this Messiah is going to come, the false Messiah, the Antichrist. But Christ is going to come and defeat him. The problem is, if Messiah came and walked in the door and did the tricks and you knew he was Messiah in your head, there's no way you could prove he was Messiah by scriptural authority. That's kind of important. Nobody ever talks about it. They're building billions of dollars for the Christian dominions. Billions and billions of dollars have been donated to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But they've forgotten a couple things. One is, let's assume there's John Hagee has got a ranch in South Texas where he's breeding and crossbreeding cattle to try to create a red heifer that would meet the requirements of the Torah. And they're doing all blah, blah, blah. So that when the temple is rebuilt, then they have to, the first thing they do is take the ashes of the red heifer to cleanse it. So it can be, services can happen. But the problem is that according to the Torah, the red heifer has to be a direct lineage, not just lineage, but the direct physicality of the seven red heifers that have existed. And they were, remember, the container for the ashes of the red heifer, which was necessary to cleanse the temple and to cleanse you if you've touched a dead body, was in a container made of dung.
And it had to be mixed with the
ashes of the previous red heifer in order for it to be valid as a cleansing according to the law. But that's, they're just jumping over all those things. It's called deception. Every person on the face who dwells on the earth is deceived. That's what the scriptures tell us. So the only ones that aren't deceived are the ones whose abode is on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem. What?
I hope he finds and gets him a red heifer as good as he can do it and takes it to the next level, because every level you get to, you discover a new thing that you have to do. And the only way they can come to the end, apparently, is to fail, to see that it's impossible, and maybe something will turn on. I suppose that's what I was thinking.
Well, again, if you hear this, and you hear that you are the temple of the living God, each one of us is, Messiah has come, and he has destroyed, put to death, and he's overcome completely the evil one in each person, in each temple.
This conversation is so clarifying in that that Messiah that everybody is waiting for looks different to everybody who's waiting.
Amen.
Everybody has a different concept of what he's going to do for them and how he's going to make their communities and states and countries okay, whatever okay means. So it never gets down to who he really is.
We've studied all this, what I'm about to talk about, quite a bit. But let's first of all go to Luke 17.
Make it where people could live, you know, without facing their own death.
Amen.
A little hedge around everything so you can actually do it. And that's why he said they were taking away the ability to repent. Because if you don't see that you need to repent, then you just go along and
think that, because something else is going to happen tomorrow, so we have time. Look at Luke 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with or by observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Amen? Now let's go to Mark 1. Mark 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled." Now there's no article. In the Greek, it's time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. It's kind of simple. Now, this mystery of God was revealed in John's baptism. And I'm going to read this because it took me a long time to write it. In concrete terms, he was challenging the Jews to go across to the east bank of the Jordan, out of the land, as an act of confession. They admitted in this dramatic fashion that they had forfeited their right, not only to live in the land, but to be God's people. John then literally turned them around, or shuv, or repent, and led them back into baptism, into the true land, i.e. the kingdom of God, by being born again. This was a final parable which symbolized the unworthiness of the flesh, but the promise of the Spirit of God, of God's sure promise of restoration into membership in the priestly kingdom of God. From Pentecost until now, God continues to establish his kingdom. He causes us to move in that kingdom by our no longer being a debtor to any of the senses, but total empty at all times.
Let's talk about that just a second, debtor to the senses. It's like, take your eyes, it's a big one. I don't owe my visual perceptions any attention.
Anything. Because you no longer look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You look through everything to see him. You look at nothing. You make no judgments according to the flesh, according to the senses. Biggie. You have to repent many times, 15, 20, 30,000 times a day to start. But the just shall live by his faith. His faith is revealed in our emptiness, our nothingness, because it's finished. What? Any response? Something was going on a second ago.
Yeah, what's going on?
You believe it?
Sure. Wish I acted like I did.
John, any expansions?
It has to do with circumcision. You know, we all want to circumcise ourselves for our own reasons.
Remember, circumcision doesn't mean just cutting off the head of your doo-woppy.
Actually, I'm not sure that it really means that anywhere. It's like cutting off a little piece of skin.
Let's get this right. Let's clarify that. Your doo-woppy.
Well, a technical term for that little piece of skin is doo-wopping. For God's people, the Torah is fulfilled. It's complete. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven has invaded time and space. And Christ in us acts as this unique. And it acts in the same way as a virus, this unique virus that spreads throughout your system.
Yeah, there's no antidote for viruses, is there?
Yeah, the antidote for virus is, that's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean. And that's why it says, Jesus said, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. because this is a threat to every form of thought in existence.
What is the kingdom of heaven to you?
It's here.
Well, what do you sense of it? I mean, it's not a visual.
His presence.
Sensed by his presence. Sensed by a knowing.
Certainty. Beyond the beyond. It was the certainty that happened that when I was under that bridge. I heard him say the first time, I heard his voice. I've never doubted a second since then. And I never doubted even him. I tried to finagle him around. But
I just think we use that word kingdom of heaven a lot, and it's a critical, pretty word.
Much of this whole study, what we're doing right now, is about. We have to destroy your perception of the kingdom of heaven in order that you can be apprehended by the true one.
Yeah.
Because your perception of the kingdom of heaven is idolatry.
Right. And everybody has a little idol of what
sure.
that kingdom should be and look like, rather than
Remember Billy
go.
Graham on the Tonight Show? Johnny Carson asked him, what was this kingdom of heaven like that he was always talking about? And what was there? And Billy Graham said, well, I'm sure there's a golf course because I love to play golf. Well, that's typical of what man does. Whatever it is.
The latest is Pat Robertson. He's saying that we're all going to get a planet. We're going to be in charge of a planet now.
Robertson's saying that?
Sort of like
that's the same thing that L. Ron Hubbard said, isn't it?
It's also a Mormon.
Mormons say it too. Well, yeah. Mormons say we get a stake in the around the earth. I told Kiala her stake was Somalia.
She gets the whole thing.
This is kind of important.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Jesus, he preached the kingdom of heaven.
And he said, the moment he was baptized, I mean, the moment he was tested in the wilderness, first thing afterwards, repent, the kingdom of heaven is here.
And then no details. That's critical.
You can't have any
because
details.
Because if you put in details, you just enhance the idol of it.
Right. Remember, he hath no form.
Yeah, he's the, you know.
He is the kingdom of heaven.
His presence is it, so he didn't have to detail it for us.
The one, go to Acts 53 real quick. I mean Acts 53, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is this arm or the strength of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then it goes on, of course, but he hath no form, no beauty that when we see him, we should desire him.
Neither does the kingdom, because that's the
right. Same. Because he is the kingdom.
So all these people who are waiting for the Messiah don't read this, because that's not the Messiah you would want.
Well, they read it, but they start down there. It truly hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or no, it's not even there. They start. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with stripes we are healed. With stripes we are healed.
Forget that other part.
By the way, the healed is in the Hebrew. It's a word. It just means it's a form of shalom, I believe. But anyway, it means total, complete, lacking nothing. Doesn't talk about whether or not your little boo boo is healed. He does that, but that's not the Merino meaning of healed.
Healed because you are complete in Him who is complete and whole, lacking.
Alrighty. Anybody else? Everybody understand perfectly?
Take a big guy.